Well, please would you open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 2. It's good to remember today those who've given their lives for our country. But even more important is we ought to remember that it was God who delivered us. Yes, he used people, but we give him praise and thanks that he delivered us. There are many war heroes, aren't there? And some are unforgettable. Winston Churchill, his rallying cry, "We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall never surrender." Unforgettable words, words that are imprinted indelibly upon our minds. But there are many unsung heroes that receive little mention. For example, Charles Coward, a British soldier who smuggled himself into Auschwitz in order to save Jews. Well, today we're going to speak about one of the unsung heroes of the Bible, Rahab, a prostitute who risked her life to save two Jewish spies. We often think of Joshua, the great war conqueror. We think of Moses and how he delivered God's people from Egypt and led them through the Red Sea. But sometimes we forget these little characters like Rahab. But the New Testament doesn't. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31, we hear of Rahab, a woman of faith, who through faith hid those spies and delivered the people of God. Hebrews 11 is a hall of fame, isn't it? It gives us one name after the other. Men and women of God who trusted God in the midst of great difficulties. And Rahab's name is found in verse 31 of chapter 11 of Hebrews. But not only there, we read of her in the book of James, James chapter 2. We read of her also in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 1 verse 5. Her name is singled out in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Few women are mentioned there. Usually it's just the men that are mentioned in a genealogy. But we hear of her, the mother of Boaz, singled out as one who was in the line of Jesus Christ. Well, the first thing we're going to consider this morning about Rahab is this, is that it was quite remarkable that she sided with the people of God and did not side with the people of her city. The Israelites, they were on the border of the land, the border of Canaan. There was only a river between them and Jericho, the River Jordan. She lived in the city of Jericho, a huge city, a fortified city, a wicked city. Jericho was the first principal city that needed to be conquered by the people of God. And she lived on the city wall. She knew the people. She was a prostitute. She understood their ways and their thoughts. And she, like the other people, have heard of God's working. She knew that the Lord had led the Israelites through the Red Sea. She knew that the Lord had delivered Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, into the hands of the Israelites. She didn't just say that the Israelites had overcome Sihon and Og, but she knew that it was their Lord who was fighting for them. Somehow, she had knowledge of the true and the living God before any person had come and spoken to her. She had no Bible. She had no teacher. She had no Sabbath day to remember God on. She lived in a pagan society that worshipped false gods. There was much immoral sexual activity going on in that place. There was terrible cruelty taking place amongst the Canaanites, such that they would bury babies alive. There was many wicked things that you can read about in history about the Canaanite people, a terrible people. And she believed that their city was under the judgment of God. And she believed that the land had been given into the hands of the Israelites. And so she sided with the people of God, rather than with her own people. She received the two spies. She allowed them into a home. They had no impure motive, but they went there and she protected them. It was a very dangerous situation. Somehow or other, the king had heard that two spies had entered the land. And these spies had been seen going up onto that city wall house of Rahab. And the king had been told about it, and so he sent messengers. He sent his secret police, as it were. He sent police officers to her house. What a dangerous position she had put herself in. Would she give them up? No, she sided with the people of God. She hid those two men on the top of her roof, amongst the flax. It was obviously harvest time, and those bundles, they would tie them together, 3 foot, 4 foot lengths, and amidst those bundles of flax, she hid on top of her roof as the flax was drying out, those two spies. Now, it does go against the grain, doesn't it, to side with the enemy. But sometimes, under certain circumstances, it's right to side not with your own people, but with the enemy. In the Second World War, there was a German, George Ferdinand Dukfich. And he sided not just with the German leadership, but he considered Danish Jews. And he smuggled thousands of them out to Sweden. It was a dangerous operation. The Swedes had to use a mixture of rabbit's blood and cocaine to ward off the center patrol dogs who were seeking to find a human scent to catch anybody crossing the border. Was it right for him not to side with his own people, but to side with those Danish Jews? Of course it was. Now Rahab, she was putting her life at risk. But she knew what she was doing was right. Just like Moses. Moses, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh. He'd been brought up in the Egyptian court. He knew the customs, he knew the ways. He could have had a life of luxury. But he preferred to suffer reproach and to side with the persecuted people of God than enjoy that luxurious lifestyle. For him, doing what mattered, what was right, doing what God wanted, siding with the people of God was more important than enjoying the passing pleasures of sin. And so Rahab, she too is renouncing her own way of life and saying, I'm putting myself in with the people of God, just like another woman. Do you remember Ruth? Ruth the Moabitess. She said, didn't she? She said to Naomi, your people shall be my people. Your God shall be my God. Rahab, she really did believe. She really did believe that the Israelites' God was the true God. Look at verse 9. I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea. The end of verse 11, she says this, for the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath. She had conviction that he was the true and the living God. And the proof was this. The proof was her actions that she really believed. James chapter 2 verse 25. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot also justified by her works when she received the messengers and sent them out another way? This woman really did believe, and she sided with the people of God. And so I ask you a question. Have you courage to stand out and be different? There's only two kingdoms that matter in this world. There's the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of this world is ruled by Satan. Which kingdom are you loyal to? Naturally, people prefer to be loyal to what they know, what's around them, what they're used to. And so when the German people saw Hitler leading them, the vast majority were just in favour of him. If you lived in North Korea today, many just fall in line, don't they? The difference is, isn't there, to where you live. If you're Russian, well, you're behind Putin. If you're in the UK, we're behind our Prime Minister, is what happens. That's life. But what about the two kingdoms that really matter? The kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world. Do you side with God and his people? Do you stand upon the Bible, upon the word of God? Are you different in your family? Do you fit in with non-Christian family members and please them? Or do you please God? What about work? Are you prepared to stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ? What about the community? What about when you're in a sticky situation and it matters? Do you side with the people of God? When it's risky, when it's dangerous, you have courage. Rahab sided with the people of God. How dangerous it was for her. The king knew that two men had come to her house. What if these two men had been found out? But she sided with God's people. Which side are you on? Are you on the Lord's side? Are you truly loyal to Jesus Christ? Where is your heart? Is your heart in the world, or is your heart with Jesus Christ? Well, think of this. Secondly, we thought about her loyalty. Where did she side? But think about this, secondly, that she believed in the imminent judgment of God, and because of that, acted. She was absolutely convinced that there was no hope for Jericho. The people around her may have thought differently. Yes, their hearts melted within them and they were fearful, but there would be a rallying cry, wouldn't there? But she said, no, this is God's judgment. The Lord will deliver our people into the hand of the Israelites. Like Noah of old, Noah was sure that God's judgment was coming. He was convinced. Those around him weren't convinced. He said to them, it's coming. You need to repent. He was a preacher that spoke to the people. You need to repent. God's judgment is coming. Did they believe? Did they fear God? Did they tremble at his word? No, there was no fear. But Noah believed that a judgment was coming, and so he did something. By faith, he built an ark for the saving of his family and saving of himself. What about you? Do you believe in God's judgment? And does that move you? Do you really believe that God now, he stands in judgment over the nations, but one day he's going to wrap this world up? And each man and woman will stand before the great white throne and will judge each person. Do you fear the judgment of God? Something far worse will happen to this world than ever happened to Jericho. Yes, Jericho was obliterated. But you know, men and women will stand before a holy God and will have to give an account for the lives they've lived. Those who've trusted in his son Jesus Christ will go to be with him in glory forever. But those who've rejected his son will be punished forever. Do you understand the justice of God? There was a historian that said about the destruction of Jericho, and it was an awful thing. Every living being, man, woman, child, came under God's judgment. A terrible thing. But one historian said actually it was for the greatest good of mankind, of civilization, because the Canaanites were a cancer upon society. They were such a wicked people that wickedness was just spreading. Some people feel about like that about ISIS today, don't they? If ISIS could be obliterated, ISIS is a cancer upon mankind. Well, if you do believe in the judgment of God, do you act upon it? There's an American pastor, and he had a group of friends around him, and he said to them, I promise I'll give you $1, but how do I know that you actually believe my promise? And one said, well, if I got up and took the dollar out of your hand, then you know that I believe. And so he asked the question again, how do I know really that you believe in me? that I'm going to give this dollar. And another person gave the response and said, well, if one of us got up and took the dollar, that would be proof. And then he asked the question again. And then somebody actually got up and took the dollar out of his hand. And he said, that's it. That's faith. Faith isn't just saying the right thing and actually believing the right thing. It's actually going to Christ. It's getting up. It's like the prodigal, isn't it? He's in his sin. He needs to return, but it's no good just to rehearse a prayer and say, Father, I've sinned against you and against this earth. You need to go to your Father. And he went with a repentant heart, and his Father received him. If you really believe in the judgment of God, that God will judge sin, then you will get up and go to Christ. You will believe in him. You will come under his wings for refuge. Rahab believed, and so she did something about it. She hid the spies. She pleaded with them. She said, remember me. I need to know mercy. I need to come under the kindness and the love of God. Look at verse 13. She says this, spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. And then they say, well, yes, we will, but there would be a challenge for you. You need to not tell anybody, not a soul, about our visit. And you need to put a scarlet cord in the window. You need to do something to prove, really, that you're honouring our word. And she did. So what about you this morning? Do you really believe in the judgment of God? If you do, get up and go to Christ and honour him and obey his word. But lastly, I'd like to say this, that God always rewards faith. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says this, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God looked upon the faith of this woman, Rahab. He didn't look upon her sin, as it were. Her sin was covered. It was forgiven. We like to debate, don't we, about whether it was right for her to tell a lie. Here are the people who come to a house, these messengers, these police officers. They rap upon the door and they say, have you got two men there? And she says, actually, I've sent them away. Yes, they came to my house, but I've sent them away. And they went out through the city gate and you must pursue them. A complete lie. And we like to say, well, is it ever right to tell a white lie? And we get caught up in that. God never honoured her sin. She was a harlot. He never honoured her lie, but he honoured her faith. And the New Testament reminds us over and over again of her faith. A lie cannot be excused, even if it's true that Eastern laws of hospitality surpass laws of honesty. Even if that's true, all sin is sin. But this pagan woman isn't there to be held up as a model of virtue. We're not meant to do that with her. She was a pagan woman. But God extended grace and love and mercy to her. And she showed faith in the living God. It was great faith to hide these men. What if somebody had seen them moving around up on top of a house? It was great faith to let them down. Imagine the process of this rope and these men going down. Yes, it may have been dark at night. But what if a next door neighbour had looked out of her window and seen these men coming down? What if the soldiers who'd gone out to pursue the men had discovered them? What if? Did she have faith? She had faith to instruct them as well, as she said to them, go to the mountains. Once they'd gone down the city wall, gone down the rope, she said, flee to the mountains, stay there 3 days. She had faith to keep her mouth shut and not to say anything about their being in her house. She had faith to put a scarlet cord in the window, and she did that straight away, didn't she? soon as they'd gone, we read she put the scarlet cord in the window, and her faith was rewarded. When we read in Joshua 6 of the Israelites coming and the city being destroyed, she is saved, her mother is saved, her father is saved, her brothers are saved. They're completely saved because they trusted in the living God. Was Noah rewarded as well? Yes, by faith he built an ark and he was saved. What about the Israelites? They had to do something also. They didn't need to put a scarlet cord in the window, but when they were in Egypt, they had to paint blood upon the lintels of their door, the blood of the lamb. And when judgment came, when the angel of death passed over, they were saved too. How will we be saved? In the light of the coming wrath of God and the judgment of God, how will we be saved? Only as we trust in Jesus and in his blood shed for us. Heard of a wonderful story of a young mother. Her name was Carla Jacobs. She lived in St. Louis, and in 1996, her house caught on fire. She looked to the front and behind and to the side, and everything was engulfed in flames. All she could do was take her two-month-old baby and run into the bathroom. She ran the tap, she put the baby in the bathtub face up, and then she lay on top of the baby. Eventually, firefighters came, and she discovered that that woman had died. But underneath, the baby was alive. It's a wonderful illustration for us. That's what Christ has done. God's wrath, God's anger, the fire of God's anger is upon us because of our sin. But Christ says, I'll go to the cross for them. I'll bleed and die for them. I'll take the fire of God's wrath for them. I'll die in their place that they might be saved. Do you believe in the judgment of God? Do you believe in the fire of God's wrath? There's refuge in Jesus Christ. He came to bear our sin. He came to forgive us. He came to restore us. He came to rescue us. Rahab was rescued. Her faith was rewarded. Do you believe? Do you trust? God isn't looking for you just to clean up your life. She was a prostitute. She didn't deserve any grace. She was a liar. She didn't deserve God's grace. But God showed love to her because she believed in him. Do you believe in him? Do you trust in him? May it be so that you can say, in Christ alone, my hope is found. In him alone, he is my refuge. Amen.